I'll be reading Hebrews 11, 1 through 6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
I read about a man who entered a monastery and agreed to a vow of silence, which means that he would not talk for a period of time. But after 10 days, he uttered two words, bed hard. 10 days later, he spoke two words, food bad. And then after another 10 days had passed, he said, I quit. And the head of the monastery replied, good. You've done nothing but complain ever since you've been here. So six words, but I guess he saw those as six words of complaint. But the man struggled with obedience. He took a vow of silence, but did not live up to it. Obedience is important in the home. We expect our children to obey. Paul in Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It is important in school. We expect students to be obedient. In the military, soldiers are expected to obey the orders of their commanding officers. 2 Timothy chapter 2, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. But most importantly, God expects us, his children, to obey him. 1 Samuel chapter 15 records the story of Samuel instructing Saul to go and punish the Amalekites. The instructions were explicit and clear, but Saul spared Agag the king and the best of the sheep and oxen. The Lord spoke to Samuel, telling him that Saul had turned back from following him and did not carry out his commands. Samuel approached Saul. You may recall that Saul tried to blame the people for his disobedience. And listen to what Samuel said, 1 Samuel chapter 15. Samuel said, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination, and insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Did you know that rebellion, insubordination, disobedience are put alongside the sins of divination and idolatry? Behold, to obey is better, Samuel told Saul. Obedience is a theme emphasized in God's word. Genesis chapter 6, verse 22, thus Noah did according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, but Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. So I want us to think for a few minutes this morning about the importance of obedience. Number one, we obey because it is Christ-like. John 4, verse 34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Or chapter 6, verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And then Luke 2, verse 51, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart." Jesus was an obedient son. He said that he had come down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of him who sent me. And our utmost desire is to be like him. And one of the ways we practice Christ's likeness is when we obey. Number two, we obey because it is our duty. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, this is at the conclusion of the book of Ecclesiastes, and Solomon says, "The conclusion when all has been heard is, fear God and keep his commandments, because this applies to every person." To fear God means to be struck with awe in his all-consuming holy presence. It is to have the utmost reverence and respect for his infinite greatness. Keep his commandments. It is the only way. We all must find out what God wants done and go out there and do it regardless of the cost. We could inscribe the words of a well-known hymn right beneath the one Solomon penned there in Ecclesiastes 12. "When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey." Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. We obey because it is the direction of love. John 14, verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." A very simple, direct statement by Jesus here, but one of the ways that we demonstrate, that we prove our love for God and for his Son, that if you love me, then you will do your very best to keep my commandments. A dad asked his son to polish his shoes. The son did it. The father put a dollar in his son's shoes, and the son gave it back. And he told his dad, "I did it for love." If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So obedience is indeed the direction of love. We obey because lordship and obedience go together. In Luke 6, verse 46, we have a record of one of those insightful, penetrating questions asked by our Lord. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Because if we indeed call him Lord, Lord, if he's indeed our Lord, our Master, then we're going to do our very best to do what he says. And a similar statement is made by Jesus near the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, verse 21, where he says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." And so we can acknowledge him as Lord. We can say, "Lord, Lord," but the real test is, are we willing to do the will of our Lord who is in heaven? And then I believe we obey because obedience is the pathway to answered prayer. 1 John 5, verse 14, this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. We continually strive to ask in our prayers, what is according to His will? And I believe that will produce the confidence that He indeed hears us. And that's what 1 John chapter 5 is certainly affirming to us. And then we obey because it is the foundation of assurance. 1 John 2 and verse 3, by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. 1 John was written to give us certainty in an uncertain world. And we can sing, and Sergeant led us in that song this morning, we can sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, and mean it, because we are doing the very best we can to keep His commandments. Blessed assurance. And John also says that I write these things so that you may know that you have that salvation, that you have that assurance in Christ. And then we obey because it is the evidence of our faith. If there is one principle that seems to me to come through clearly in Hebrews 11, it is this one principle: faith saves when faith obeys. The book of Hebrews can be divided into three very broad sections. A superior person in chapters 1 through 6. A superior priesthood in chapters 7 through 10. And what I would call a superior principle in chapters 7 or 11 through 13, and that is the principle of faith. And in chapter 11, and that was our text read this morning, verses 1 to 6, we have a description of faith there in verses 1 to 3, and then a demonstration of faith there in verses 4 through 40. And what comes through to me is this principle that faith saves when faith obeys. The writer says, by faith, Abel did what? He offered the sacrifice that God had told him to offer. By faith, Noah did what? He prepared the ark in accordance to God's instructions. By faith, Abraham went out when God called him, even not knowing where he was going. And perhaps that illustrates that verse 1, that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By faith, Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. And it seems to me that he's illustrating that definition of faith that the writer gives there in Hebrews 11 and verse 1. And so, faith saves when faith obeys. And then we obey because it opens the way to heaven. That familiar statement in Revelation 2 and verse 10, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Be faithful. Be faithful even if it means that you may have to die for the cause of Christ. Because the promise there is that then you will receive the crown of life. So faithfulness and obedience go together. Faith saves when faith obeys. Just as Samuel told Saul, it is better to obey Saul. That is the way for us as well. So trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I think that is a very important truth for all of us, you know, to understand. And I'm not saying that all of us do not understand that, but we just need to be reminded of just how important that particular principle is. The importance of faith, but then obedience going along with that faith. And so you might want to go home today and just kind of read through that Hebrews chapter 11 and see that principle illustrated throughout that chapter. By faith, those various characters did what God asked them to do. Certainly, faith and obedience is essential in one coming to Christ, because it begins with one believing that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of God. And then it goes on with our willingness to repent, to truly turn from our ways. Because repentance basically involves a change of mind, a change of heart, which results in a change of life. That I'm willing to give up certain things because I want to walk and to go in a different direction. And then the Bible instructs us that we must be willing to confess that we do believe that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of God. Because if we do that, Jesus said, then I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. And then we are willing to be baptized into Christ in order to have our sins forgiven, to receive that gift of the Holy Spirit, God then adding us to His spiritual family, the church. So I think you can see faith in all of that. Because I think, you know, confession is basically faith speaking. Repentance is faith turning. Baptism is simply faith acting. Faith saves when faith obeys. So if there's anyone who needs to take that decisive step today, I want to encourage you to come and let us help you in that most important decision. If you desire the prayers of the congregation, if there's anyone here who feels the need to come and to have us pray with you and pray for you, we're here to do that. And so if there's any way that we can help you this morning, would you please come as we stand together and sing?